Okay, it is 10 o'clock, and the Arizona Board for Private Postsecondary Education Finance Committee meeting on June 22nd hereby commences. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the general public and to members of the Arizona Board for Private Postsecondary Education that the board will hold a Finance Committee meeting open to the public on the date and time indicated above. The meeting will be held digitally online. A full meeting agenda and list of applications to be considered can be found online at ppsc.az.gov. The board reserves the right to change the order of items on the agenda, except for those matters set for a specific time. The formal hearings and formal interviews are scheduled to be heard during specific time blocks. The board chairperson, however, reserves the right to call cases in random order. That'd be fun. Americans with Disabilities Act. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as a sign language interpreter or a copy of this document in an alternative format, by contacting the Executive Director, Kevin LaMountain, at 602-542-5716 or the TDD number at 800-367-8939. And with that, Mr. LaMountain, can you call the roll?
Dr. Mittman?
Present.
Dr. Mittman is present. Mr. Ball?
Here.
Mr. Ball is present, and Mr. Wallace is absent. For staff, Jacqueline Rome?
Present.
Keith Blanchard? Keith, I think he'll join later. And then Kevin LaMountain, Executive Director.
Great. Next item on the agenda, review, discussion, and possible action on acceptance of Finance Committee meeting minutes. So I will make a motion to accept the audio recording of the March 23rd, 2023 Finance Committee meeting as the official meeting minutes. Mr. Ball, can I get a second?
I second it.
Mr. Ball.
Great. And Mr. LaMountain, well, I'll vote aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
All right, we're going to save some time here since there's not that many of us. All right, next on the agenda, review, discussion, and action on the financial status and license renewals. And first up is Arizona Automotive Institute. And so please introduce yourself from AAI or from ANCOR.
Yes, sir.
And
I agree.
Feel free to make an opening statement.
Yes, sir. Greetings all. Introduction of all ANCOR representatives. We have Colin Malchow, our CFO, myself, Daylon Childress, VP of Operations, Lauren Morocco, Executive Director of AAI, and Amber Powell, our Manager of Regulatory Operations. The opening statement, we're both excited to come to this meeting to participate and to outline the financial performance and trajectory of our ANCOR platform, as well as our AAI campus. We want to accomplish a couple things, as you outlined, is our request to for licensure renewal, the performance, and then emphasize our formal request that was submitted back in April to reduce the surety bonds back to their original amount. We're excited, as we recently just closed out our April monthly operating review and are preparing to complete our May operating review. We're pleased to share that as a company, our turnaround continues with positive contributions from all of our business units and overall positive EBITDA from our continuing operations for the first time in 2023. And we project positive EBITDA from our continuing ops in 7 out of the next 8 calendar months. We've also completed our 5th class start of the year and exceeded budget in 4 out of those 5, narrowly missing our May by 3 students. And in addition to the start over performance, we're continuing to see retention improvement across the platform as well, exceeding our budgeted drop rates in 5 out of 5 months. As we give a little insight and look into our May operating review, that review consists of both June population performance and May financials. Both our online platform and ANCOR training have recorded record revenue that's posted and our ground business continues to outperform population budgets by closing out the month of June with greater than 100 students to plan. We feel that we've developed a operating rhythm that's both deliberate and repeatable. And I think that speaks to the trajectory of the business. And you also hear some of that outlined in the way Lauren has repositioned her campus from both population performance, but also the financial health of the campus. So Lauren, can you give us your input for AAI, please?
Absolutely. Good morning. Wanted to, you know, as Dalen mentioned, we feel good about the campus operating infrastructure and the rhythm we have in place to deliver on our population and financial targets, as well as our purpose in supporting trades in our local community. So June's an important month as it will solidify our quarter two and the first 6 months of the year. As we sit today, we're pacing to end the month plus 60 to our population budget at a student count of 336 students. Although that is an achievement in itself, I'm proud of the team and the processes we have put in place, since the overage comes not only from an over delivery of our start, which accounts for the plus 32 of that plus 60, but also the strong retention of our active students, with our drop Sierra AAI accounting for only 3.34% of our total population. I did the exercise recently of forecasting out the second half of our year's projections, and it has us staying above population targets for the entirety of 2023. So knowing that population is the driver of financials, I want to move to our current financial landscape. So our May financials will lock on the 26th, but preliminarily, year-to-date financials have us at an EBITDA of approximately $480,000. We ended 2022 with an overall EBITDA of $1.1 million, and we are projecting to meet, likely exceed that for 2023, which will give us 2 years consecutively of positive financial contribution of $1 million plus. So, you know, in summary or conclusion, we feel we're at a very different place financially than we were back in early 2022. And we feel we have the right people in the right positions with the right processes that have us set up to continue having successes. So we just want to thank you for your consideration of our request for a license renewal and the $100,000 surety bond amount.
Well, thank you very much, both of you. And Dalen, I assume that you're not here in Arizona because you've got a sweatshirt with a hoodie on.
I'm close. I'm in St. Louis right now.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thanks a lot.
Which is better than Texas, where I left, and the heat index is terrible. So I feel your Arizona pain here recently.
Yeah, it's all good. But goes around, comes around. So in January and February and March, everything comes back. Mr. Ball, do you have any questions for either Lauren or Dalen?
I have no questions. They may look good to me.
Yeah, so I just want to congratulate you on the turnaround. And like you said, you know, you expect 2 years of profitability. And so what we'll be able to do at that time would be to entertain going off of quarterly reporting. That would be after a audited, after your audited financials, and then we can adjust the surety bond. At this point, I'd like to make a motion to approve the 2023 regular vocational and degree granting program license with the following stipulation. We will lower the surety bond to $771,823. And that is based on the gross tuition revenue for the students in Arizona, which is 10%. And do I have that right, Mr. LaMountain, in terms of the 10% of the gross tuition revenue?
Correct, Dr. Mountain.
Okay. And then to continue quarterly reporting, which I would be, you know, we would look forward to ending at the end of another successful year. We'll take the vote in a sec. Do you agree to those stipulations?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Mr. LaMountain.
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. By your vote of two ayes, one absent, that motion passes.
Great. Well, thank you very much and congratulations. And I know you didn't get everything that you hoped for, but clearly we're moving in the right direction. We appreciate what you do here in Arizona.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys and look forward to the next report out.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Speaking of cooler climbs, although you guys are not headquartered in Colorado, and alas, we're going to do a site visit to Aspen. That would have been good. Next up is Aspen University, and I see Dr. St. Arnold. Please give us an update.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Mittman. I am Sherry St. Arnold. I'm the president of Aspen. Thank you again for having us come before you today in connection with our financial status and our license renewal for the coming year. Joining me today is Michael LaMontagne. He can answer questions to the committee that you might have about Aspen's finances. We've been very busy serving our students in all of our programs while continuing to meet the requirements before us from all of our regulatory bodies. I'm just going to give a couple updates and then Michael will give you a financial update. First, I want you to know we continue to work closely with the Arizona Board of Nursing to meet the requirements in our latest consent agreement amendment using our consultant and our clinical ombudsman. It's going very well. We welcome DEAC to Phoenix for a special site visit on June 13th, and this board staff was in attendance as part of the process outlined in the show cause directive. We received our first reimbursement from the Department of Education under HCM2. Michael will give more color on that. And we're still in the financial aid program review process with the U.S. Department of Education, and we continue to stand ready to answer any follow-up questions that they may have. We're also working closely with Arizona and Colorado Veterans Affairs Departments to facilitate continued benefits for our military students. And finally, we have submitted all the reporting that's been required of us by our various regulators. And with that, Michael can provide some additional context relating to the financial information that's been provided to you in connection with our monthly report. Michael?
Thanks, Sherry. Good morning, everybody. We submitted new financial reporting to you guys this quarter. So I'm going to go ahead and just summarize the reports. We've got them for both Aspen University as well as the parent company, which was required. So at the end of it, I'll leave it open for questions. But in summary, Aspen's fiscal year 2023 ended April 30th. Revenue in the fourth quarter generated $9.1 million. $40.9 million for the full year of FY23. The student population ended April 30th at 6,398, while generating 507 new enrollments in the fourth quarter. And we generated roughly 3,300 new enrollments in all of FY23. Instructional costs in the fourth quarter came down by 2 percentage points, 31.5% of revenue in the fourth quarter, down from our full year run rate of 33.4. This is primarily due to a reduction in pre-licensure nursing full-time instructors as we continue to teach out that program. Aspen also continued to hold on to the marketing spend in the fourth quarter while we continue to generate significant amount of leads through referrals, built up lead flow, et cetera, and educational reputation. The net income before taxes for the fourth quarter was $1.1 million. And approximately $3.5 million for the full year. The operating margins in the fourth quarter were 12.6%, up from the full year run rate of 8.8%. One of the things that I did want to mention that I didn't put in my executive summary was that the adjusted EBITDA for the full year of FY23 was $6.6 million. That's with taking out depreciation and bad debt. And as we also submitted a forward-looking forecast with you guys, you can see that the EBITDA and the adjusted EBITDA numbers are significant as we continue to work through the teach out and continue to rebuild the online programs. Year over year, that was the other thing you guys had requested. Year over year declined $52 million in revenue from FY22 to $40.9 million in FY23. And as we review this, we all understand this is primarily due to our teach out and pre-licensure nursing program that's intended to be taught out by Q1 of FY25. Operating income year over year went from $6.1 million to $3.5 million. As the university was put on show cause in HCM2 this last year, Aspen has continued to make strategic adjustments to respond to the reduction in population enrollments. As Sherry had mentioned, Aspen's first reimbursement request for HCM2 was received last week, that was submitted in May. That took approximately 60 days in order to get that first payment made. There was a lot of review involved. The second reimbursement request for HCM2 will be submitted shortly here within the next week and a half. And we're anticipating the funds within 30 days after that, since we've had our initial review with them. Aspen, just as an update for you, Aspen continues to meet our accounts payable obligations in a timely manner. And then on our parent company, what I would suggest, or what I would say, is that parent company AGI closed on an AR facility on May 12th that we had discussed in the previous quarterly review. The generating working capital is adequate to provide liquidity that's helped us transition from the HCM2 payment method previously discussed. And the company believes it will have sufficient unrestricted cash resources to meet the capital working needs for the next 12 months without additional borrowing. So we do feel that we're in a good position as we continue to teach out pre-licensure and move on. That's my summary. I'm open for questions if there are any.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I have just a couple of questions, but first a comment. Congratulations on a lot of hard decisions. I know that there was a reduction in staff, and it seems like even with the significant reductions in marketing expenditures, you know, you've continued to meet your enrollment goals overall. So a couple of questions. First of all, did you get a sense from the DEAC visit how it went, and when do you expect to hear their report in the coming weeks or months?
I'll go ahead and take that. Yes, DEAC, unlike other accreditors, they don't give you an exit interview. So, I mean, they do speak to you, but they don't give you any indication. The process will continue. We will get a chair's report. The chair's report will be reviewed. We expect that in, 4 weeks or so, and then we'll review that and have a chance to comment. And we did have indication that the commission might hold a special meeting. I have no guarantees on that, but perhaps in October. But this was our full year review cycle anyway, reaccreditation cycle. So we have a full review site visit scheduled for October 19. And it is quite possible that they'll ask for additional information in that site visit and kind of wrap it together. We should be getting a letter maybe but before the end of the year, but then our full accreditation commission meeting will be the end of January. And so somewhere in that time frame.
Okay, thank you. And then tell us a little bit, and I asked this question, and I understand that the ombuds role is confidential, mm-hmm. and it's also an independent and neutral party. But I was just wondering, how is that going? And was that part of the consent agreement with the Board of Nursing, or is that a role that you've had at the university in the past?
No, that's a new role that we agreed to in the new amendment. And that person meets with ensures the validity of our clinical placements and meets with board staff or Board of Nursing staff, I believe, weekly. From all I've heard, things are going very well. I know in our last monthly report, we submitted to Mr. Lamountain the number of clinical placements we've had and that we had no cancellations and they were all going well.
And does the ombuds also field, you know, issues or complaints or either interpersonal or, you know, issues that students may have, let's say with a clinical site or anything for that matter?
So we've only had one that's come to our attention, and we are including her in that situation. But as students are free to talk to her. I mean, she does meet with, I'm not sure about that, Dr. Mittman. I don't want to say anything inappropriate. So what I can do is follow up on exactly when the ombudsperson meets with our students. But I know that both of our ombudsperson and our consultant are open to meet with the cohorts that we have left on a regular basis.
Okay, great. Well, and it's just, I mean, it's a really interesting role that, you know, that I know that had Aspen, you know, was part of the agreement. On the other hand, it's a pretty interesting function. It's been something that we implemented here and have been looking at the International Ombuds Association, mm-hmm. You know, codes of ethics. And it's just, I mean, it's an interesting, given, you know, given all of the, I don't know, right. all the things going on in higher ed and in our environment, big beyond higher ed. You know, it's an interesting position that I think we'll probably end up seeing more of it. Okay, well, great. Mr. Ball, did you have any questions? Sorry, I've been hogging the mic.
I have no questions.
Okay, so in that case, I'll make a motion to approve the regular degree granting license, maintain the surety bond, which is down to $5.5 million, and to continue follow terms of the third amended stipulated agreement executed on February 22nd, 2023. So before we vote, Dr. St. Arnold, do you agree to the stipulations?
Yes.
Okay. Case, let's vote.
Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. By your vote of 2 ayes, 1 absent, that motion passes.
All right. Well, good. Well, have a nice summer. You guys will see you in a few months.
Yes, and thank you so much to board staff for coming to our school for our site visit and to this committee for continuing to work with us. Thank you.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
All right, next section of the agenda, review, discussion, and possible action on financial status, including request to remove financial reporting.
Dr. Mittman.
Which one are you taking personally, by the way?
Dr. Mittman, there's still one more license renewal for Arizona Automotive Dealership, for Automotive Dealership Institute.
Oh, sorry about that.
And that also has a request for a bond reduction elimination.
Okay. All right. Great. Mr. Algan.
Hi. My name is Alan Algan. I'm the CEO and executive director of the Automotive Dealership Institute. The reason we're here for the quarterly reporting is we had a bad, we lost $133,000 back in 2021. And the reason for that was we canceled many of our classes to produce an online product within our offices and in the classrooms. This took about 8 months of filming and producing. We spent close to $1 million. Now that's completed and starts selling. We're actually selling more of that than the classroom program. In 2022, we closed 2022 with $382,334 profit. And our year-to-date statements show that January 1 to March 31st, we show $49,000 profit. And year to date, May 31st, we have $84,000 profit. So we're on the right track. We don't have any other disruption. So we're concentrating on our classroom program and especially on the online program, which is selling well.
Great.
So I'm asking to be removed from the quarterly reporting and approve our license.
In that order?
Yes, please.
There we go, the other order, because it's
yes, license and removal.
Okay. Mr. Ball, questions?
I have no comments. Looks good to me.
Great. Well, I'll just congratulate you on making the investment that you did, and you know the fruits of those efforts that appear to be coming true at this point. I'm sorry. I'm looking. I've got like 30 tabs open, so give me a second to just get this together. I think I'm looking. I don't see the report in front of me. But what I'd like to propose, and then I'm going to ask staff to correct, would be when you complete 2 years of finishing the year in the black, we'd be happy to remove you from quarterly reporting, unless Mr. LaMountain did. I don't have the staff recommendation in front of me. Was that the staff recommendation, or did the staff recommend otherwise?
Ms. Rom?
Yes, Dr. Mittman, we are actually recommending to remove from quarterly reporting, but again, it is up to financial committee, whatever they decide.
I mean, they're a very tiny school. We only take 10 students a month. I mean, comparing to the other schools, we are nothing really. And we've been on the same location for 20 years.
Okay.
On the same building. And
the risk is low because it's a small number of students, which is the reason for the recommendation to remove from quarterly reporting.
Yeah, and our program is only 4 weeks long for the classroom students. So we don't even deposit their money in our operating account until they graduate.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Ball, do you have any objections to the staff recommendation and Mr. Algin's request?
I have no objections.
Okay. In that case, do you have the staff recommendation? Because for whatever reason, I'm having a hard time finding. I've got.
Yeah, Dr. Mittman, if you, I'll go ahead and read it. So the staff proposed action is to approve the regular vocational license and remove the institution from quarterly reporting.
Okay. So, Mr. Ball, you want to make that motion?
Sure. I'll make a motion that we remove Automobile Dealership Institute from quarterly reporting. And
don't forget to renew the license. Why don't we just move to what Mr. LaMountain just said, and that will be recorded in the minutes. So we're going to approve the license renewal, and we're going to remove from quarterly reporting, and the details will be in the recording. Okay.
So much, Dr.
All right, and then I will second that motion. Mr. Algin, do you agree to those stipulations?
Yes, I do. Thank you so much.
Okay. Mr. LaMountain, let's vote.
Sure. Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace is absent. So your vote of two ayes, one voting absent. That motion passes.
Okay.
And we'd like to thank Mr. Algin because he is actually, it's 8 p.m. In Turkey.
Yeah.
And we had the great opportunity to look out his back window to see the ocean, the beach that he is next to. And thank you for allowing us to see that. It was great. And
I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much.
Did everybody? I didn't get to see that. Who got to see that?
Well, you have to get on early. You know, we get up early. We're on here. So both Jacqueline and I had the opportunity to see that. It was great.
Oh, well, how about I make a motion that the rest of us get to see it. Mr. Algin, could you accommodate us? And where are you in Turkey? Are you on?
I'm in Bodrum.
Oh, very nice. Well, have a wonderful trip and a visit, and be safe. And we wish you continued success.
Thank you so much. I appreciate everything.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say it again, Mr. Lamont, and correct me if I'm wrong. Review, discussion, and possible action on financial status to remove financial reporting requests.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Now we know where we are. Okay. First up, American Home Inspectors Training. Please go ahead. Introduce yourselves and give us an update.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking the time to hear from us today. I am Jamie Illingworth, Compliance Analyst with AHIT. And American Home Inspectors Training, AHIT, is a leader in the online home inspector education field, offering online licensing and continuing education courses for inspectors around the nation since 1993. AHIT was acquired by the CE Shop LLC at the beginning of 2022, which is well known for its online licensing and continuing education offerings for multiple industries, including real estate, mortgage, and with AHIT home inspection. AHIT was previously added to financial reporting requirement with your board under our previous owner, Lifelong Learner Holdings, LLC, in relation to their financial standing as our parent company. With AHIT's completed ownership change last year under the CE Shop and pending review of our quarterly reports during today's meeting, we would like to respectfully request for AHIT to be removed from the quarterly reporting requirement in light of our recent ownership change. And with me, I have Damon Nolan from our accounting team and Nicole Andler, Director of Compliance, to answer any questions the board may have.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Ball, do you have any questions?
I have no questions.
All right. So I don't know. It could be that I'm just confused all day. And so the question that I have is, it looked like in some of the documents, I saw that in the first 4 months of 2023, the CE Shop, your parent corporation, posted a loss of $6.3 million. On tuition revenue of $20.1 million. Is that, do I have that correct?
Damon, are you able to speak? Oh, go ahead.
So that's going to be at the CE Shop level. So yeah, that is the case. The majority of that kind of loss is really being driven by depreciation, amortization, interest expense as well. So we definitely still have a very positive EBITDA.
Okay. And then you're currently maintaining a bond of $33,762. And I see, and so maybe Mr. LaMountain can correct me on this, your Arizona, now that we know the lingo, Jamie, your AHIT revenue is, I have... $106,186. Is that correct?
That is what we have, Dr. Mittman, for their previous.
Is that for the full year or is that just for the reporting period?
That would be for their previous reporting period for their last license renewal that they completed.
Okay, so a full year.
Correct.
In other words. Okay. And so is there... And I always thought that like the bond is 10% of GTR.
It correct. So Dr. Mittman and Mr. Ball, it is GTR is what is the determining factor. All schools have a $15,000 bond, regardless of their GTR. At the time where we initially put AHIT on the financial, their revenue, their gross tuition was higher, which led to the bond of the $33,000. So if we go back to that time frame, their GTR at that point would have been $337,000, which is why we granted the 10%.
Okay. And what are your thoughts about adjusting it to the GTR of the current? And I imagine it doesn't make that much difference, and I don't know if it makes a difference to either CE shop or to the AHIT people. You know, I know we were just talking about a school with a $5.5 million bond, and so it's a lot different. Any sense of, what's your sense, Mr. LaMountain, on the bond?
You know, again, Dr. Mittman and Mr. Ball, that would be really up to you. In terms of risk, all of these students are non-Title IV students, so 100% of their tuition is potentially recoverable under STRIFE. That we have to judge the risk if we think that the institution has a possibility of closure. We think with the new ownership that they have, there's a possibility that that may not happen with that particular change. So it's really, in terms of what you want to do, we could certainly change that, adjust that back down to the minimum, which would be the $15,000.
Okay. Well, so first of all, on your request, I think my recommendation would be that we continue financial reporting, and I know that the AHIT has been profitable, and I'm not sure how many years in a row. On the other hand, the challenge that we've sometimes faced with Arizona schools that are part of a larger parent organization is that if the parent organization is either losing money or for other strategic reasons, you know, we've seen school closures as a result of that, even though the operations here in Arizona are contributing to the increase in net assets or profits. And so I'll make the motion to continue reporting and lower the bond to a surety bond to the $15,000 level. Mr. Ball, can I get a second on that?
I second it.
Okay. Mr. LaMountain, and you agree to the stipulation? Either Jamie or Damon?
Yes, we'll agree.
Okay. Great. Then let's vote.
Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye by the vote of 2 ayes, 1 absent. That motion passes.
Okay.
Thank you. And no offense intended by our request for removal. So we look forward to continue to working with you all.
You respectfully requested it. So
always with respect.
You knew yes. Right off the bat.
thank you very much.
Okay. I believe next up is another request, hopefully respectful also.
Always respectful.
I know. I'm just joking because you really are. It's good to see you, Mr. Assad. Do you care to make an opening statement for Fuller Theological Seminary?
Sure. Good to see you all as well. And thank you for the invite, although I am requesting not to be invited anymore, but happy to see you. With me also is our Director of Compliance, Teresa Lewis. I just wanted to, it's very brief, really wanted to share with you, June 10th, we had our commencement in Pasadena. We had about 570 students graduate from Fuller Theological Seminary that represent probably near 80 countries around the world. So we're always very proud to get to this point. That's what we work hard for all year long, and to see our students graduate and go out in the world. Specifically with our Phoenix campus, we had 15 students who graduated and completed their master's in marriage and family therapy. Our clinic, and if you recall from prior conversations, we have acquired additional space. We've been building out our our mental health clinic, and we are eager to open that to the community in the spring of 2024. It is where our students will do their practicum. And in between now and then, actually, we've had about 15 therapy sites throughout the Phoenix area actually reach out to us looking for fuller, you know, students to participate in the various sites to provide mental health, you know, counseling. So we're, you know, we're very proud of the engagement and the reception we are receiving there. And we continue to work on a larger program of opening, you know, additional mental health clinics. Once we get this, you know, the one on site open, then we are looking at other sites in the Phoenix surrounding area. In terms of finances, you know, we have actually, you know, for the first 9 months of the fiscal year, we've done very well as an institution overall, and we came in at a $2.9 million surplus. That's after amortization and depreciation. So that's actually, you know, very good. And we'll see how we bring in the fourth quarter. And I'm hopeful that we bring the fiscal year to a balanced, another, you know, year in the black for us. So that'll give us three consecutive years of, you know, positive financial performance. So I believe we're going to get there. Specifically for the Phoenix campus, the good news is we received a cash gift very recently, within the past couple of months, of $1.5 million. You know, our revenues, they still remain, you know, at the same level of about, you know, $300,000 to $400,000. And we expect to see some growth in enrollment in, you know, next academic year. And we've actually grown our staff, you know, staff and faculty. There's a lot of emphasis and push to grow our Phoenix operations. So we're very excited about that. And that's where we are. So happy to answer any questions for you.
Okay. Mr. Ball, any questions?
No questions.
Okay. So I have a couple of questions. First of all, congratulations on yet another gift, because I remember we had a similar conversation the last time we met. How did the I know that you were in the midst of a campaign, or towards the end of a campaign, and I know that you were hoping to close it out pretty soon.
Yes. Thank you for the question, Dr. Maitman. Actually, we are extremely grateful for the performance of this campaign, and very grateful to our donors and our development team and staff for all the hard work and effort. The goal was 150 million. We're going to come in at 152 million, probably even a little bit higher than that. It officially comes to conclusion at the end of this month. So we have one final push that we will be making here. Actually, it's already kind of in progress. And it's been remarkable. And I think now we'll take a pause from campaign and then just focus on regular fundraising efforts. And then we'll see what comes next after that. But it actually it turned out to be very successful. Thank you for asking.
Well, congratulations. And what usually comes next is the next campaign.
That's right. If it were up to me, I would, you know, we'll do it, then start it up the next day.
Right.
And but so we just gotta give our donors a break a little.
Yeah, and I just want to give, for anyone who's on the phone, you know, around financial reporting, you know, when Fuller began financial reporting, if my memory serves me correctly, it was because of, you know, any new school to Arizona is on reporting, quarterly reporting for 2 years. And throughout that time, you know, Fuller's, between, you know, your very strong balance sheet, endowment, and financial performance during this time, was really just a question of time. Assuming that everything went well, and it has. I will say that a very good friend of mine is a minister. When I tell him I get to meet the folks at Fuller at a couple of months, he's like, oh my God, what a cool school. So So we'll miss you, but I'll tell my friend if he wants to reach out. I have your contact information.
Please do. Happy to connect. Yeah.
Okay. And so with that, I will make a motion to remove Fuller Theological Seminary from financial reporting and lower the bond to $15,000.
I'll second it.
Okay, and with that, we'll vote.
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye by the vote of two ayes, no nays. That motion passes.
All right.
Thank you very, very much. And I hope we talk again soon under different circumstances.
Yeah. And next time I'm in Pasadena, I'll look you up.
That'll be wonderful. I look forward to that. Thank you, Dr. Mayman. Thanks, everyone.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, Accord Health Institute. And representing, we have two people. You guys want to introduce yourselves? We have NYAZUT1.
Good morning. Daniela Bondi and Diego Lopez here representing Accord Healthcare.
Hold on one second. Excuse me. Daniela, could you mute yourself? Because you guys must be getting feedback from each other.
There we go. Okay.
Thank you. We're next to each other, but he's a little big in size to fit in my screen. So I am the Director of Education. Thank you so much for having us into the meeting. Accord Healthcare Institute has been a trade school, vocational school that has been in the healthcare. Being in the healthcare due to the last 3 years coming out of the pandemic, it hasn't been a very easy road for us. We try to, through excellence, perseverance in life learning, lifelong learning, embed that into our students. We give a solid academic foundation and multiple vocational skill sets that makes those individuals successful in today's demanding workplace. We offer a learning experience because all the classes, with the exception of the EKG program, have clinical sites. We work, the majority of our students, even though it's not through post-secondary education review, and yes, the Board of Nursing review, is the CNA program, the Certified Nursing Assistant or Licensed Nurse Assistant. And throughout the pandemic, we have been having very difficult times for two main reasons. One, the fear of individuals to come back to the healthcare field to work. And second, because of the limited space that we had at the school and the advice through the CDC on the specific space between individuals. So our classes were reduced from probably 20 students to about 9 per class. And so due to the location where we are, we occupied and in partnership with Career Success High School Tech Campus, located on 27th and Indian School, 27th Avenue and Indian School. We had to reduce having the same expenses with nurses and had to have more payment to them due to the what it was offered to them outside of the training or education areas. As we all know, nurses came from probably $35, $40 an hour to, in some places, to $99, $115 an hour. So being competitive in those areas, having less students because of the space, it wasn't actually the best years for us. We have been working very diligently by continuing to work and providing the same services with the same staff. But again, the pandemic, even though we never closed the doors throughout those 2020, 21, and 22 years, we have been in some ways working to keep up with the school. And I think that is the main issue that we had with the financial side. So I will leave it to Guillermo probably to go over the forms that we submitted to you for your review and open to any questions you guys might have.
Hello.
And
so I'm Guillermo Lopez. I am the program director for Highlight Health here at Core Healthcare Institute. And, you know, she kind of covered quite a bit of that. Another issue that we also have had with the pandemic was the fact that we also raised the prices for a lot of little things that we didn't have before, such as was continuous testing. We actually had to get a bit of staff because of different types of testing that we had to do before we send people out. And another part of the decline from our student population was actually due to them not having to have been vaccinated. We had a lot of students potential students that did not want to come here, mainly because of the fact that every place that we were affiliated with, and some of them have changed their rules now, but it required vaccination, which actually hit us pretty hard. There was a lot of people that wanted to join the healthcare. Sorry if I'm slurring my speech. I just got a tooth pull. So if I sound a little strange, it's just that. But one of the reasons that we had also it affected us quite a bit was the fact that we cannot grab a student that we know is not going to get hired. And because of that, we were, you know, pretty upfront with everybody. Says, look, if you're not going to want to get vaccinated, we understand. But it's also going to affect you because you can graduate from here possibly. But we can't send you to externship. And the possibilities of you finding jobs are very close to zero without being vaccinated right now. That is changing right now. We actually seen it. I've gone to a few different sites, and there's a lot of people that are now looking to possibly hiring students that are not vaccinated, mainly because the CDC has loosened some of those, requirements. And we're actually seeing a change of a trajectory for us. So that is something that looking good for us in the horizon.
Great. Well, thanks, Guillermo and Danielle. I guess a couple of questions. Your current year, your first 3 months. Can you hear me? Can you hear? Mr. Lamont, can you hear? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, question for Guillermo or Daniela.
Give me one quick second. Let me see if I can get you over here. Can you guys hear me?
Okay.
What's the question?
So the question is, through the first 3 months of the year, you had posted a loss of, or at least through March, $23,902. Where are you at now, and what are you projecting through, through the entire fiscal year?
So the issue that we had actually at the beginning of the year was the fact that one of the biggest, sources of funding that we get for the students is WIOA. Some of the funding for WIOA has changed as of the beginning of the year and how they're allocating their resources. So a lot of the students that we will get and that we send to them that normally will end up being our students essentially were just left and not approved. Some of them were actually not funded. Some of them were rejected. Actually, it was quite a bit. So we actually took quite a bit of loss from that. We have actually had an up or increase in potential enrollments that we have had. We just had a bit of an issue with the funding part. We have changed some of these things with some contracts that we actually are trying to make because, you know, we can't just sit here and do nothing, right? So we're actually looking for funding from different organizations. They still work with WIOA a lot of times, but they also have their own funding through other sources. And we are actually at the moment kind of working to finalize some of those different essentially contracts that we will have in order for us to get funding for those students. So we are actually this month looking probably in the next month or so to actually increase our enrollment significantly, thankfully, and possibly secure two different grants that would allow us to have different types of income.
Okay. So the previous 2 years, if I'm, you know, these are from my notes, so I could be wrong. You had losses of $147,000 and $150,000. Do you feel that you're on track to repeat that? It looks like if you multiply your first quarter, you know, you would come in with a net decrease in assets of about $100,000. Is that where you're seeing the year ending up?
This year it looks like we're, you know, I think if we're doing good, we will break even. We are looking for some of the things that are, of course, changing some of these patterns. So yes, I'm looking, the first half of this year has not been the kindest to us either. For different reasons that are not related right. to COVID.
So in spite of that, you're still expecting to break even for the year?
Well, that's in the base scenario. In the worst scenario, we are going to take a loss, maybe for probably about $100,000. We have done a couple of things to change our expenses. One of them is actually we have shrunken our classes to morning and afternoons. We are not open as long, so we actually reduce our costs. By doing so, we were able to kind of condense classes and efforts in a lot of, trying to, you know, decrease our expenses as well. So there are two different factors that, you know, we're hoping that will prove. Yes, break even would be the best case scenario for us this year. We are expecting a loss this year as well.
Okay. And so I guess, you know, the reason that I asked the question, Guillermo, is if you were to lose $147,000 again, mm-hmm. you know, just looking at your balance sheet, you know, your current assets are $119,000. I didn't see your current liabilities on there, which would be good to make sure that you get us the next time that you report. You know, from a cash flow standpoint, you know, could you sustain another year if you lost kind of in the neighborhood of what you lost in the previous years? Or do you have other funding mechanisms, you know, let's say investments or, you know, investors or other sources?
We could go another year. We are very aware of the fact that if we come to a point in the, you know, in the business that we are not making, you know, we're not making enough money to maintain the business open, that we are, you know, if we were to close, we need 4 months ahead of time. So that's our timeline that we have. That would be for us to teach every single student out to make sure that they are done with the externship and give them the opportunity for them to do that. So we actually do have a kind of exit strategy if you wanted to. But at the moment, we are financially still able to continue. As long as we are able to secure a few different types of income revenue, you know, and funding for our students, we do see a opportunity for us to come out of this and, you know, be able to be successful again.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I wish you the best over the next few months. And Your fiscal year is the calendar year, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have two. We do have the fiscal year that we, you know, we use for, you know, tax purposes and some of that. But with you guys, it's actually our review is right now. We actually did not receive our, what you call it, approval this year. I don't know if this was what we were expecting, because we got a thing that we were supposed to get a review this year. So we were kind of waiting for this to happen. I'm just not sure if you are going to, you know, release that to us, or are we going to stay in this review process?
I think, yeah. Go ahead, Mr. LeMann.
Respond to that. I don't know what you mean by not getting it. You did receive your renewal certificate last year. Your renewal, your license, your current license that you have today expires 12/31/23. That renewal has not gone out yet. We just sent out the October renewals. So you'll get your renewal notification in September, and then that will be for your renewal period.
Okay, we get a copy of the 2023 then.
So how do we get a copy of our...
I'll send you a copy of it. You should have received it. I know that, Guillermo, I know we've had some communication issues over the last, you know, period of time. So I'll send it to you again today.
Okay.
But you are good for the 2023 window through December 31.
That's my bad. I assume that since we got placed on this review process, that we needed to be on review before we got it. So that's my.
You will have to do that before your next renewal. So when you submit your renewal sometime in September. Then you will have the opportunity to go before the board because you'll still be on financial reporting. You'll go before the board in either in it probably won't be until January.
Okay.
So you're at this meeting, Guillermo and Danielle, because you're on quarterly reporting. For having losses in two consecutive years. And so I would ask the next meeting that you come to, which theoretically should be in 3 months from now, if you could make sure that you have all of the materials that staff requested. Like, I didn't see all of the elements of your balance sheet, which is important from, you know, just in terms of what your financial health looks like. And also, if you could, please, when you come back, just share with us, you know, a little bit more detail about what happened over the last few months. Because I know a lot of your presentation for both of you was around the stresses and struggles during the pandemic. Some of the issues around, you were talking about vaccination or students who didn't want to get vaccinated, loss of some funding sources. And so just anything that you can prepare, you know, maybe in like an executive summary, you know, just like a one sheet saying, this is what we've been doing. These are our plans moving forward. Usually when we have like a full complement here, we've got, you know, some accountants and some other people who are, super financially savvy. And, you know, if there's anything that we can do in the way of either advice or any kind of assistance, we would love to be available for that. All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, good. All right. Well, have a nice, a good summer, you guys. And with that, we're going to move on. Next up.
Thank you.
ACU. Arizona Christian University. President Munsell.
Yes.
You're in the room. Do you want to introduce your team and give us an update?
Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Chairman, thanks for the chance to be back with you. I apologize for the no video. I'm up in Whitefish, Montana, which I'm happy to be here. It's great. But we're at the gathering of the Frontier Conference presidents. And that's our football program has moved conferences up to, so we'll be playing in Montana, Idaho, and Oregon this year, which is an interesting change, exciting change. They're very excited to have us. But I wanted to introduce James Titos, our chief operating officer, and Michael Warner is our vice president of finance, and they're available to answer any detailed questions. Not a lot to add to the narrative that we provided, other than we wanted to let you know that we did receive all of our employee retention credit. Both of the checks that we were expecting have come in. And you know, as a small college that is growing, you know, very rapidly, you know, it's exciting to have more operating cash in midsummer than really at any point in our history. We're well on track with enrollment for a ninth straight year of record enrollment. We'll be above 1,100 total students this year. And of course, we're adding a graduate enrollment for the first time. We just had our 2-day board of trustee meeting last week and passed next year a very strong budget. We have, you know, continued revenue growth and holding expenses flat for a very positive year next year. And we're more than halfway done with a feasibility study of our major supporters for what will be the first comprehensive fundraising campaign really in the school's history. So we've grown donor support pretty substantially over the last decade, but this is the first time we're actually going to do a multi-year campaign. And we'll have the report in September, but hearing some very positive things from the major supporters of the university. So with that, I will stop and see if there's any questions.
Mr. Ball, any questions?
I have no questions.
Okay. So for the employee retention, that was about a $2 million grant. Is that right?
It was about $2.4 million, I think. Okay. And included some interest for the from the IRS.
Okay. And so, and maybe Mr. Werner, maybe you want to jump in on some of my questions here. You had when I read the executive summary, you know, there was a lot of, you know, positive news there, you know, growth in enrollment and also in, you know, talked about the, you know, fundraising, gifts that you received. And when I read the financial statements, you know, your cash, which is about to go up by $2.4 million, has been decreasing from $3.6 million in 21 to $1.9 million in 22 to $776,000 at the end of March of 23. Same kind of direction for your current ratio. It was at 3.2. Now it's at 0.73. And I know that you also have, you know, in the notes on your most recent audit, you know, there are some significant bank covenants. And I was just wondering, where are you guys at, given the direction that you've been going over the last 2 years in terms of meeting your debt service coverage ratio and then also your second covenant, the days cash, I assume it was days cash on hand, is your second bank covenant.
Let me jump into that first. This is sure. President Munsell again. One of the things I've talked about before is the challenge of the 12-month snapshot. And so we made a significant move from a much smaller to a much larger campus 4 years ago now. And so when you look back at our finances, you know, we had a $16 million gain. We had a $2.8 million loss. Then we had a $4.6 million gain. And there's, you know, when you're rapidly growing, there's these back and forths that occur. And so we have been in the process of basically building our revenue to the point where it overcomes expenses on the new campus. It was almost like a start over when we moved there 4 years ago. And we've done that with the help of through the Arizona Industrial Development Authority, through investor funding. We're talking to our investors about follow-on funding now. But the reality is we've grown pretty rapidly, and we finally gotten to in next year's budget where we're our revenues that have been growing by about $2 million a year cover our expenses without any COVID relief money, without crazy fundraising, and without borrowing. But it's been a process that's taken, you know, several years to get there. And frankly, COVID, we grew through COVID, unlike 95% of colleges, but not as rapidly as we expected to. So coming out of COVID, we weren't at the size, we didn't have the revenues that we thought we would have at that point. So there's a lot of up and down variability, but the trends are very positive, and our, I think our investors are confident in us. We hit all of our bond covenants last year, but it was close, and I think we're going to be close again this year.
Okay. And you're the unaudited statements that we received through 9 months showed a loss of $3.6 million. Is that correct? Either President Munsell or Mr. Werner?
Yes. Yeah, that is correct.
And, okay. And so then you add the ERP funds, and so that ameliorates
from a cash standpoint. Yes, I mean that's the there are years I've learned over 13 years of doing this and going from a $6 million to a $26 million budget. There are years when the budget looks great and the cash isn't so great, and there are other years the budget doesn't look as good, the P&L doesn't look as good, but the cash is fine. And for us, this is one of those years where the P&L is not going to look as strong, but our cash position is very strong.
Yeah, we're sitting at almost $3 million in cash now.
Right. Right. And so okay. You had a note receivable or a note payable that was due on May 20th of this year. And that was for a bridge loan. And I was wondering what was that paid off?
Was that for the BE lending? That must be for BE lending. Yeah, we refinanced that.
Okay, so you refinanced it. Yeah. It had an interest rate of 12%. And what did you get it down to?
12%.
It was extended with.
Yeah. Yeah. We extended it for another year. So we were able to refinance it for another year.
That's one of the things we're talking to our investors about, and about refinancing that at a lower rate.
Okay. And, yeah, because then, and how much is that for? I'm sorry.
It's a total of $8.8 million.
On the 12%.
Right.
And so I didn't see that, but I didn't see that on your balance sheet, but I assume that will be all current liability.
Right, exactly. And it will go on the balance sheet in April. So I think we closed it in April.
Okay. All right. And then what was your composite score last year?
It was 1.09.
So are you on HCM1?
We haven't received any information yet.
Okay. I think that lags a little bit.
Yeah, it's about an 18-month process. You know, like I said, in the years with the up and down, you know, steady progress in terms of growth and growth in revenues, but our composite score has gone up, and it's been in the zone a couple of times, but it's usually about an 18-month delay. So we've been on HCM1 before with no issues. That could happen again, but it might not, depending on, you know, the continued progress that we're making on a lot of fronts financially.
Yeah, and our budget that we've just put together for 24 looks really, really strong. I mean, we're going to have high cash balances, over $1 million in profitability after interest and before depreciation. and our new enrollment for this fall is strong. And we've based our budget on a conservative enrollment number that looks like we're going to surpass.
And how did you do that? Was it, did you make cuts on your expense side, or are you getting new sources of revenue?
Well, the new sources of revenue is additional enrollment, so that's helping. On the expense side, we went through every department with a fine-tooth comb. I mean, we cut every single expense that is just not critical to running the university and, you know, offering and giving the students the service that they're paying for at the same time. So we have a balance there that we have to provide a good service for the students. But at the same time, you know, we're not overspending. There's very, very little fat at all in the budget. We're lean and mean. The folks who are enrollment, we increased enrollment just by making more calls, working harder, doing more training for the enrollment team, getting good leads, and also because the university itself is getting more and more known out in the marketplace, and students just want to come here. So as the brand is becoming more positive in the marketplace, it makes it easier too. We've also increased enrollment on the online school. So online has gone up about 25-30%. And that's just pure profitability. It's 60-70% profit on online students.
What we've been doing is essentially, you know, holding expenses flat or slightly less while continuing to grow revenue. So since coming to the new campus in 2019, if you look at our tuition and fees and auxiliary revenue, set aside fundraising or COVID relief or anything like that, we've gone from $12 million to $16 million to $18 million to $20 million this year. And we'll be at $22 million next year. And so we're finally getting to the point where the tuition and fees and auxiliary revenue growth is able to cover all of the expenses of operating on a much larger campus. But we've gotten to that point, you know, with the help of investor funding, short-term loans when necessary. But the growth trajectory has continued to be very, very strong.
Okay. And given the size of your campus, what is your annual depreciation cost?
I think it's about $2.4 million.
Okay. So that will still hit your income statement next year, right?
Yes.
So that means
and the campus has gone up significantly in appreciation and value from an appraisal standpoint. But unfortunately, we can't cut, you know, we can't move that appreciation over to the balance sheet. So we our net worth is much bigger than it actually shows on the balance sheet.
Right. And hold on one second, Mr. LeMount, I'll be right with you. So that means next year would have a loss in the neighborhood of about $1 million.
After depreciation?
Well, I mean, as far as, you know, whether it's your bank covenants or your composite score, all of that counts on your income statement.
Yeah, well, the way that the debt service coverage ratio is put together is it doesn't take into account depreciation. So we've actually budgeted for 24. We're going to beat our debt service. We need to have a 1.10 on our debt service coverage ratio for the bond, and we're actually going to be at around 1.45, 1.50. On our day's cash on hand, we're going to be next June, we need to be at 60 days, which is about $4 million, and we're going to beat that by a couple of $100,000. So we built into the budget this year, looking at the debt service coverage ratio and day's cash on hand to make sure that we're in compliance. And actually, on the debt service coverage ratio, we have about $700,000 give on that. So we're ahead by $700,000 on that in the plan.
And for this year, you expect to exceed both as well?
It's going to be close.
I was going to say, we're very close on the day's cash on hand. The debt service coverage ratio is also going to be close, but part of it depends on we actually have a number of major gifts that are coming you know, by people close to the school related to the fiscal year end, which for us is June 30th.
Right. And the budget for 24 was built without any extraordinary income coming in from the feasibility study. So it was just based on a conservative fundraising goal. If that feasibility study comes through and we get some really large gifts, well, the numbers are going to look exceptional.
Okay, Mr. LaMountain, sorry.
Dr. Mittman, so just a quick question. I believe that there was a statement that was made about your composite score. Could you provide that to me again really quick?
Yeah, it was I think 1.09, so it was in the zone in the last fiscal year.
Okay. Just as a, because I know you had mentioned a component of growth being in your online, I just want to lay this out there so that you understand that that has the potential to challenge or your AZ-CERA status with a composite score in that range. We've seen it before. So I would anticipate and expect, and certainly I will have a conversation with Lana at AZ-CERA as we move this forward. But I just want you all to be aware that this may impact your ability to participate in AZ-CERA. That would be something that I would recommend that the institution reach out to AZ-CERA to find out what the standards might be. But having a, based upon what you've told me, that could be a challenge for you.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. We will definitely check in with them. I know we've been previously in the zone and continue to able to operate through AZ-CERA, but if that's something that they're looking at, we definitely want to be in contact with them. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, and just to follow up, I don't think that, you know, AZ-CERA is part of Western CERA, it's part of NC-CERA, and AZ-CERA does not have any latitude around that. I think that they're obligated to follow the guidelines from NC-CERA. And so I echo what Mr. LaMountain just said.
Okay.
All right, well, this is an update. You know, I wish you well over the next 8 days for lots of fundraising. And, you know, I, you know, thanks for your answers and for persisting with my questioning. I guess I'm concerned, and I assume that that came through. On the other hand, I know that you have been at this for a long time, and I wish you the best over the next few months, and we'll see you in September.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye bye. Right. All the way from Indiana, where hopefully it's nice and beautiful summery for you guys. So, Connie, are you on lead on this? Great. Kind of, I don't, oh wait, you know what? Maybe I can, oh, I can't unmute you. Sorry. You need to unmute.
It doesn't look like she's, oh, she is unmute.
Yeah. It's okay. Connie is a CPA. She's not an IT person.
Actually, it doesn't. It didn't look like she was on mute. I think she probably had to get out and come back in.
Yeah. All right, well, let's all take a mindfulness moment. Deep breath in and out. Hey, Connie.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Sorry, I had to leave because I could not get it to work. So I apologize for that.
Oh, we were waiting with bated breath.
You were anxious to hear my report.
So wow us with your...
Okay. Well, I am very happy to have Jeff Bergeron and Tiffany Glazier with me today, partly because we're having some transitions, as I mentioned in our executive summary, and wanted to make sure that you were aware of some of these staff changes that we have that we're excited about. Jeff Bergeron will be moving to our Huntington location. He has been the director of HUAZ and has since inception, he's the one that got it going, and we're very pleased with the work that he had done. But he's transitioning into a new role as the executive director of graduate and online programs that will continue him in oversight for Arizona admissions and recruiting. And so he'll be over that as well as our main campus online and graduate programs. So we're excited about that. And then we have Tiffany Glazier joining us today because she is going to be moving into the director of HUAZ. Tiffany has been at HUAZ since July, or I think June of 2020, and she's been serving as the coordinator of student support there. So she's going to take over some of the administrative responsibilities that Jeff handled, and she'll also be continuing to do support services for faculty, staff, and students. And we're excited to see what Tiffany's going to do for us there, and very pleased to have her have that opportunity to be promoted. And then the last big change we have is that Dr. Jamie Sanfilippo will be joining the HUAZ team as the Dean of Administration, and she will be joining us in a week. Jamie worked for HUAZ a few years ago and in the student recruiting and services area, and she's been with the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities in Washington, D.C., has since gotten her doctorate, and will be bringing that talent and experience to our campus. And she's going to be responsible for really assessing and target student markets, hiring and directing campus personnel, and providing oversight for recruitment, marketing, and student learnings. So we are excited about this new opportunity and new venture for the university and these changes that we're making locally in Arizona. Also wanted to just let you know that early this month, we received the closeout letter from the city of Peoria regarding our economic development agreement we had with them. We were, as I'm sure you're aware, we're invited to come to Peoria, Arizona by the city of Peoria. And we're in an economic development agreement with them. And we are pleased to say that we met all of the objectives, and we've been discharged and dismissed from those objectives. And then wanted to let you know, we are, May 31st is our year end, so we are in the process of closing our books for the institution and getting final numbers. We will have our external audit next month, in the month of July. And we'll have that full report for you once we get that finalized with the auditors. And then finally, our fall enrollment in Arizona is looking very good, and wanted to share with you the undergraduate digital media arts program. Our deposits are and our registrations are running 15% ahead of last year, and we're looking forward to meeting the goals that we've set there. And just having good traction. We have a new person in our recruiting office that we're excited about, and I can let Jeff speak to that if he wants to add any more in that area.
Great. Well, first up is Jacqueline Rome.
Thank you, Dr. Mittman. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure, Connie, some of the changes that you mentioned with your staff at the local campus in Arizona, can you please make sure that those are transmitted to us so that we can update our software. So if Jeff isn't going to be submitting the applications, we need to make sure our Salesforce software is updated with the proper communication channels.
Certainly.
Thank you.
And I can jump in here real quick, Jacqueline, just to say the transition. And I want Kevin to know that, you know, I'm not leaving just because of I don't enjoy emails and interactions with Kevin and with you, but it does have to do with daughters in Indiana and a granddaughter. So hard for Kevin as enjoyable as he is to compete with grandkids. So I will also say that it's going to be great to stay connected to the Arizona location. I came out and launched Arizona, so very much have enjoyed the interaction with the group and with the team. And I will stay connected with Tiffany as she goes through the next renewal process. So I will get you updates with that, Jacqueline, but I'll still be playing a role in terms of the next renewal cycle and be making visits out to Arizona with some regularity, particularly with some intensity between that November and March time. So I'll be planning accordingly now that I'm a veteran. I'll be a snowbird. You will see me, Dr. Mittman, driving around in a silver PT Cruiser going about half the speed limit on my way to Golden Corral. So, but no, I've really enjoyed the interaction. This is an opportunity just to thank the AZPPE overall for just the support as we launched, the good partnership as we moved forward and grown and expanded, and I'll still be able to play a role, but I will definitely get you updates, Jacqueline.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Well, it sounds like we're the private post-secondary education presented by the Hallmark Channel. Any other good tidings for anybody? I do have a question, a finance committee question. Is that a fair game?
Yes, it is.
Today. Okay. For 9 months, you know, it looked like you showed a change in net assets of $631,956 for Huntington. And then Peoria had also a good year at $313,338. So that was for 9 months. And I assume that audit or no audit, you pretty much know where your things are standing right now. And I was just wondering how the year is going to turn out for you guys.
Yes, we do. As we talked to you the last quarter, we knew that the endowment and the market losses would have an impact on us, and that we do anticipate an overall loss for the university. The Arizona campus, we were able to have a profit this year. Even though our revenue ran a little short, we were able to make some cuts in some of our expenses and still finish in the black there. So we will have a positive bottom line for that. But we have a lot of finalization still going on with the overall campus and trying to get fixed assets recorded and all those things that make a difference once we capitalize those assets and that type of thing. So I do not have a final number. But we, again, as I shared with you at the last quarter, we do anticipate to have a loss due to the market, and we will have a operating loss as well. I think you're aware that we mentioned in our executive summary that we did have a civil lawsuit brought against us here locally and in Indiana, and we have that impacted our fundraising for our athletic facility. So we have budgeted for that fundraising, but we were not able to charge ahead with that as early as we planned until we had some of the effects of the lawsuit settled. And so that's had a bit of an impact on us, and we do expect to have a loss due to that as well.
Okay. All right. Mr. Ball, did you have any other questions?
I have no questions.
Okay. And then, you know, I guess the only question that I have, Connie, related to what you just shared with us, I think your composite score was 1.6 the last, based on the last audit, or I don't know. I'm looking at my notes, so I may.
It was 2.6 last audit.
Oh, good. All right. So you've got plenty of room.
Yeah. And I'm estimating it'll be 1.9 or 2 this time.
Okay. Good. Okay. All right. Hey, well, best wishes. Congratulations, Jeff. And also Tiffany. And Connie, it's always nice to see you.
All right.
We'll see you in a few months.
All right.
That's good. Thank you, Dr. Whitman.
All right. Inspection Go. Did I say that right? Or is it Inspection Go or is it Inspection Go? Okay. So, is there somebody here from Inspection Go? Because if there isn't, that means that you blew us off 2 meetings in a row. So this is going to go into the minutes, right, Mr. LaMountain?
This is. So is Allison or Casey, either one there?
We are both here.
Okay. So, and I would say that the packet that you submitted, at least to my review, was not nearly complete. And so I'm going to ask you guys to get with staff and make sure that we're going to come back at our next meeting, which I think is that'd be September. Well, wait, Jacqueline is going to probably contradict me. Go ahead, Jacqueline.
No, I'm not going to contradict you. I just want to make sure that you know that the documents were requested multiple times.
Ooh. All right. So, Allison and Cassie, this isn't good. And not just because, you know, it takes a lot of staff time, you know, to support the schools here in Arizona. There are, I think, 240 or 240 something schools in the state. So everybody gets a lot of attention. The fact that you weren't here last time and that we don't have the materials this time is not good. And it's not good because it, you know, it's just like I'm not saying it's a personal affront, although it might be. But it calls into question a school's administrative and managerial capabilities, which you know, which as far as the board is concerned, you know, gives us a feeling that, you know, that the school and its students could be at risk. And so we're going to have you guys come back at the next meeting, and I'll just say I expect like full packet of materials with every single thing answered, and just out of respect for our staff, you know, I'd like you to start by responding, because I saw the email chain from Ms. Rome. And I saw lots of emails from Ms. Rome, but I didn't see emails coming back the other way. So if there's a problem, a technology problem, please figure it out. Please get your materials in to staff in the next week without another prompt from staff who have other things to do. All right.
Dr. Mittman, just for a clarification piece, do you want them to report? Obviously, they would be back in September, but do you want them to be at the full board meeting in August?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I apologize. I thought we submitted everything, so I'm not sure what we're missing.
Okay. Go back and look at emails from Ms. Rome, and it should be spelled out in there. Do your best to get them in, and then if all is good, you'll get confirmation from staff. If not, they will you know, they'll list out what needs to be submitted. All right.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Moving on. LifeWork. It's a cool name for a company that had a cool name before that. It used to be Wizard Medical Education. So representing, looks like Andrew Johnston.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Yeah, my name is Andrew Johnston. I'm the regional director for LifeWork Education for our Arizona operations. And in the last quarter, kind of update on our side is we went through our ABHES site visit with our institutional accreditation, as well as our reaccreditation filing with our programmatic accreditation for the paramedic program. So when it rains, it pours. All of our accreditation filings were due at the same time. So we were working our way through them. But our finances continue a little bit positive year over year from the last couple years. We are in the process, hopefully within the next week, of rolling out in total what's going to be a 3,000 square foot expansion of our Dobson Road facility. And with that is the plan to consolidate a lot of the operations and courses and everything between the Dobson Road and the Country Club campus that we have, which are just a mere couple miles from each other. So that's finally coming to fruition. We're just waiting for the keys pretty much to the new space, and we will we'll be able to kind of start that next process for it. So that's a little bit of the update from us over the last quarter, and I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Yeah. So you said that you were expecting or hoping to finish the year in the black. As I know, a couple years ago, you were a little over $1 million in the red. And I don't have it in my notes right here where you finished 22. But are you expecting to finish the year in the black? And that would be quite a nice turnaround.
We're not quite there this year. Still some of the kind of startup costs, or for last year, rather, for December. Our financial audit should be done any day now for the 2022, and we're happy to share that with you for company-wide on it. But, yeah, the trajectory is good, and we're moving in the right direction, but we're not quite there yet. There's a lot of still the startup costs of some of the new systems that we've been rolling out. We brought on two new dedicated admissions faculty members in the last couple months as well that are bringing in a lot of experience on the admission side, and a new, or rather a changeover in our marketing department as well to kind of get us back on track to a lot of the momentum that we had in prior years.
Okay, great. Mr. Ball, any other questions, comments? Otherwise, Mr. Ball, I'm sorry, I didn't catch you.
Sorry, no questions.
Okay, all right. Well, with that, unless you have any questions for us, Mr. Johnson, I wish you the best of luck with the new facility. I think the one that's on Country Club, that's the one, there's a bike store right near there.
There's a very large bike store next to us there.
Yeah. Archer. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I've retired my license to practice, and so I've taken my last ACLS class from you guys. So I wish you well. I wish you well, we'll see you in a few months.
Thank you. I will say, kind of ancillary, during our ABHES site visit, Mr. LaMountain and Mr. Blanchard were present, and we made a commitment to them on going through and digitizing paperwork by this meeting today. So I'm happy to report that we have gone through a painstaking process of digitizing about a decade's worth of paperwork to eliminate our filing cabinets and our storage, everything that we had there for you. So I'm happy to send some pictures to you or whatever you would like for that.
Andrew, that is great. Thank you so much. You know, when we walked in there and we saw all the file cabinets and you saw our eyes get really, really big. And I just want to thank you for doing that. That's very helpful to us as well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, that's a great way to conclude. Let me just see if we have any. Let's see. No, I think that's it. We'll conclude on a high note, thanks to Mr. Johnston. Thank you to staff for, I know that, I don't know, a bunch of years ago, I met you guys at an accreditation visit. I don't know, I thought it was a one-off, but apparently you guys are, you're supportive, every possible way for our schools. And so thanks a lot. Thank you, Keith and Jacqueline, Kevin. Doug, it's good to see you. And it's 11:45, and this meeting is adjourned.